Fuse Box. This is Fuse Box number 257. Akka Maracas. And you might want some croutons with that word salad.
The Mueller report, I wish, covered the oranges, how it started.
In the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an anonymous, gutless coward.
They sacrifice every day for the furniture and future of their children.
Tim Apple.
Mike Pounds.
I know words. I have the best words.
Yosemites. Nambia.
Thailand. Voter ID to buy a loaf of bread. The Democrats. Ooh, there was a mosquito. I don't want mosquitoes around me.
I'm a very stable genius.
The disinfectant, where it knocks it out in a minute. 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that? By injection.
I tested positively toward negative, right?
People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once.
The wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
You know, I think he's officially gone rancid. Hello, friends. Welcome in to this, the 257th edition of Fusebox, nonsensically entitled Akka Maracas, and we'll get into that title in a bit. I am your highly charged particle in much too contained of a space, host Mark Rose, and over there, in a virtual blur of sonic manipulation, is the monarch of the meters, the doctor of decibels, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Thank you kindly. Okay. Akka, what's it?
Akka Maracas, Mr. Keynes. It's another wonderfully rhythmic slang term from the 1930s that means, actually, nonsense.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, we're fond of the 30s and 20s slang around here, as it really does have a musicality that modern slang sort of lacks. And who better to illustrate the power of that term than the orange guy?
Maybe they should have a convention for old slang, you know? Bring back the joy for that, too.
True. Yeah, that's a cunning observation there, Mr. Keynes. Yeah. Because to a certain extent, I think the political mood in this country has certainly changed out there.
Yeah, I mean, really, seriously, regardless what side of the aisle you're on, you got to admit, things are looking mighty different now.
They are indeed. And, we won't belabor the political stuff here, but suffice to say that seemingly overnight, the country went from a sort of zombie shuffle of enthusiasm for the upcoming election to a cheetah-like dash towards a highly probable victory in November.
Of course, we'll have that year-long battle to certify the result, as the Maganoids have already said. They'll fight everything that results in victory for the Democrats.
Yes, I expect it to be a long, hot summer in November.
Awesome.
But be that as it mustn't, we're hoping for the best in this upcoming election, which is just weeks away now. And by looking at recent polls and the like, there is definitely a change in the air.
And we hope it's not burning tires.
Well, we've got some thought-provoking stuff in store for you on this one, friends. One story about a newscaster who just couldn't wade through the BS any longer and resigned. A hot wire of science segment on drones designed to release mosquitoes that carry a deadly bacteria into the wild.
What?
Yes. Yes, and but also the world's first documentary that is never the same twice, no matter how many times you watch it. This and so much less when we return, so stay with us.
Cheer up, it's not gonna be that bad. At least we'll have a good dinner.
Hey, Just want to take a pause in the proceedings here to let you know about our friends at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine, the premier source of all things Grindhouse. In issue number 2, one of my all-time favorite guilty pleasures, a film called Street Trash, directed by Jim Murrow, is featured in great detail by a guy who should know. He was in it. Mike Lackey, who played Fred the Bum in this glorious melt movie from 1987. A mysterious beverage appears on Skid Row called Tenafly Viper, and when consumed has, shall we say, a disastrous aftertaste in glorious, oversaturated color. It's what makes Grindhouse Resurrection a valuable resource, friends. Articles written by the folks who were there, and like in Mike's case here, were a part of it. 96 pages of glossy goodness in each issue and not a speck of cereal. Check it out in the link in the show description. Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine.
SEAL Team 6 doesn't knock. But we do. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
They have a picture of me supposedly eating a dog. Of course, it's not a dog, and it's a goat, and it's in Patagonia. Vanity Fair is the most persistent complaint against me is that I'm promoting misinformation. In fact, they say it in the article. We are going to destroy Robert Kennedy. I no longer believe that I have a realistic path to electoral victory in the face of this relentless, systematic censorship.
A wee more acamaracus there from another fascinating character, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Who has a thing for animals, evidently.
Yes. Dogs, goats, bears. Well, he says he'll...
I'll eat virtually anything. There's two things I wouldn't eat. Well, three. I wouldn't eat a human. I wouldn't eat a monkey. And I wouldn't eat a dog. I think I'd eat anything else, but I just couldn't bring myself to do those things, so...
You know, I think he's fond of staging roadkill with bicycles.
Well, many have posited that perhaps the poor dead bear was actually struck by RFK Jr. himself, and not the motorist, quote, end quote, directly in front of him, as was later reported there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that whole story about him driving around with a dead bear in his car, I mean, that's just a little creepy, bro. I mean, who does that?
Well, evidently...
Bub?
Does. Speaking of things that have clearly gone bad, this news item, which was sent along to us by our senior Florida correspondent, Gregory Wilson, but... We'll get into that place in a bit, but this one doesn't really have to do with the sunshine hate. It does, however, have a lot to do with bias and propaganda. The lead anchor of Sinclair's national evening news broadcast, Eugene Ramirez, resigned back in January over concerns about the accuracy and right-wing bias of the content he was required to present on air. Ramirez's show, which continues to air with a new host, appears on at least 70 of the hundreds of local television affiliates owned by Sinclair.
Be great if the folks at Fox took a cue from this guy.
If it were only so, Mr. Keynes. One of the primary reasons for Ramirez's resignation was the requirement to include at least 3 stories produced by Sinclair's rapid response team on a nightly basis. Sinclair's RRT evidently is a group of 4 reporters who work out of Sinclair's national headquarters in Maryland. Now, if you take a peek at RRT stories over the course of the year, it shows that the group frequently produced pieces that have more in common with right-winged MAGAnoid propaganda than actual journalism. Through July 4th, 2024, the RRT gang has produced 147 stories that portray Democrats in a negative light, and just 7 stories that portray Democrats positively. Many of the pieces produced by the RRT that do not explicitly mention Republicans or Democrats, or do so only in passing, still promote a right-wing agenda, highlighting stories that portray immigrants or LGBTQ people negatively. Another of the requirements that affiliates have to run is the, quote, question of the day, featuring questions like, does this sound like a Tucker Carlson thing to you? Are you concerned violent criminals are crossing the border? Do you think former House Speaker Pelosi deserves some of the blame for January 6th? Do you think some of President Biden's family members broke the law in their business dealings? Do you think the Veterans Administration should be involved in health care coverage for illegal immigrants? Do you think the FBI is protecting the Biden family?
Wait, you know what? They left out crime. The Biden crime family.
Oh, how sloppy of them. Another reason for Ramirez's departure was that Sinclair's national leadership frequently booked guests from far-right groups. Big surprise. Including Moms for Liberty and, here it comes, the Heritage Foundation. When Ramirez challenged the dubious claims made by these guests, he was slapped on the wrist and told not to interrupt them. He had to reflect the sensitivities of those viewers. By contrast, of course, representatives of progressive groups were almost never booked as guests.
Yeah. Why would they want to muddy the waters with all that truth?
Well, we applaud Mr. Ramirez for doing the sensible thing in this situation and exit the building. As supporting this kind of misinformation, regardless of network, these days, friends, is part of the problem, not the solution. And I still say that legacy media is tiptoeing on very thin ice these days as more and more options for getting information, and from credible sources, by the way, are emerging.
Except that one guy in a stained undershirt and wearing no pants, doing the news from his unfinished basement.
So, it's like all my high-level sources inside the Pentagon, they tell me that they'll be like a really giant insects from deep in the... No, see, that was my card. I should have that. That guy's cheating right there. What was I saying?
In other tastefully attired news...
The Hot Wire of Science.
Okay, hang on to your hazmat suits, friends, because an international team of infectious disease researchers with the World Mosquito Program...
Wait, the World Mosquito Program?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, do they have swag? I mean, come on.
No, it's a real deal, Mr. Gaines. Seriously, they've been working with colleagues from We Robotics to develop a way to release large numbers of mosquitoes infected with a mosquito-killing bacteria into the wild much more efficiently than current methods do.
Current methods? You mean they're doing this already?
Well, yeah, technically this is not a new idea. It's been going on for decades. Not with drones, of course, but the... introduction of a modified species to wipe out the same species is pretty common.
Wait now. So if we introduced a sane version of a Republican, it could wipe out the Maganoids version?
That's a very interesting premise, Mr. Keynes. We shall take that under advisement. So what they found with that prior approach is that it's just inefficient. It's difficult and oftentimes dangerous. In this new effort, the research team has found a way to use drones to get the job done. So this new approach involved designing a container that could hold multiple small loads of infected mosquitoes and then release them at desired intervals. It also had to be small and light enough to be carried by a drone. The result was a small white box capable of holding 160,000 mosquitoes divided into multiple compartments with a release mechanism that could be used to release the mosquitoes held in a given compartment on demand. Now, the drone can fly to a given spot, release approximately 150 mosquitoes, and then move to another spot over and over until all the mosquitoes have been released. The box also has a climate control feature and a means for sedating the mosquitoes until it's time for their release. In field trials conducted in Fiji, the team found that the system worked well in uniform distribution compared to the manual release method. And then in a second field test, they found that use of the drone to distribute infected mosquitoes effectively spread the disease and greatly reduced mosquito numbers in the given area.
Yeah, can't see how this idea would be used in any harmful way.
Speaking of insects... Okay, friends, more shenanigans and utterly flabbergasting developments from down there, in that area down there. One of the most progressive liberal arts colleges in Florida, may have been the only one, come to think of it, has been in the news quite a bit as the governor... Ron the Sand Slug, has deemed its curriculum, quote, woke, or some such pigwind, and has made it one of his many freedom dismantling projects. So the college in question is known as New College, and Ron the Sand Slug has successfully stripped this institution of its independence and replaced officials at the school with Christian loyalists, who are seriously building a school modeled after those that Viktor Orban's loyalists took over in Hungary. So the new college officials painted over student murals celebrating diversity, suppressed student support for civil rights, and voted to eliminate the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Office and the Gender Studies program. As you might have predicted, faculty fled New College, and more than a quarter of the students have dropped out. But to keep its numbers up, what else would you do? Well, the school promptly dropped its admission standards. Governor Ron the Sand Slug selected interim president Richard Corcoran, a former GOP Florida House Speaker, to take the helm permanently.
Oh, he's a real winner, bro. During this towhead's tenure in the state house, he was known, quoting here, as a rude and miserly fiscal hawk, possessed with the belief that college administrators were overpaid and spending lavishly.
Yeah, and to echo that, Stephen Walker of the Sarasota Herald Tribune reported that the school cleared out the Gender and Diversity Center, throwing the books it had accumulated into a dumpster. And there's a picture of that that is most unsettling. Officials said the books are, quote, no longer serving the needs of the college. Gender studies has been discontinued as an area of concentration at New College, and the books are not part of any official college collection or inventory.
Disgusting.
Yeah. To say the least. You know, and then in a response that's perfectly aligned with our age of disinformation and chronic gaslighting, Cochran's minions called the pictures, quote, false. That's, of course, a typical MAGAnoid response, in light of the fact that the video and photo evidence is overwhelming. The images seen online of a dumpster of library materials is related to the standard weeding process, they said.
Some jackass Cochran suck-up pointed to a state law to explain why the books couldn't be donated or made available to students, for that matter. You know, because that's what they used to do in the past. But unfortunately for these idiots, that law actually confirmed the clear fact that New College could have done exactly that.
And as we know, this was, of course, no accident. The books bound for the landfill from the college's former Gender and Diversity Center included titles like Nine and Counting, The Women of the Senate, a book a curious New College student would have to dumpster dive to find now. So, my humble advice to those brave educators facing this wall of intolerance, ignorance, and semi-fascistic underpinnings would be to
get out.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it.
TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Well, as to not leave us frustrated and chewing the wallpaper off the wall, here's a most interesting news nugget concerning the world's first documentary that no matter how many times you watch it, it's never the same twice. According to film director Gary Hustwit, this idea that a film has to be set in stone and always linear is obsolete, I think. Now, he's talking about the recent documentary about the life of musician Brian Eno. And thanks to a software program, the length, structure, and contents of the movie are reconfigured each time it's shown. It's the only way that Brian Eno would agree to this project. Gary Hustwit had a simple wish, really, to make a documentary about the visionary musician Brian Eno. And when that wasn't possible, he devised a far less simple approach. He made 52 quintillion documentaries about Brian Eno. Every time it plays, it's a different movie, Hustwit told the audience in May at the film's New York premiere. I'm surprised every time I see it. His collaborator on this project, the digital artist and software programmer Brendan Dawes, explained that because of the variables, including 30 hours of interviews with Eno and over 500 hours of film from his personal archive, there are 52 quintillion possible versions of this movie. Oh, and just so you know, a quintillion is a billion billion.
Oh, so it's not really a made-up word by a five-year-old.
No. So, Brian Eno, in case you don't know, in 1972, was an original member of the British art rock band Roxy Music. Eno was an immediate media phenomenon. He was all dolled up, very androgynous, in rouge and eyeliner, and a wardrobe of kimonos, butt-hugging cigarette pants, and padded jackets adorned with animal feathers.
Yeah, now he looks like that cool college professor.
You know what? Sure love to be in his class. Anyway, he left Roxy after two albums and started a solo career that really did anticipate punk and what was to be called, briefly, New Wave. He has produced or collaborated with Talking Heads, Devo, U2, David Bowie, among countless others. Eno had contributed the soundtrack for Hustwit's previous documentary entitled Roms from 2018, which was a profile of the German industrial designer Dieter Roms. But when the director proposed a movie about Eno, the idea was immediately shot down. Wasn't a surprise, given Eno's longstanding antipathy to documentaries. For instance, in 1993, Words for the Dying, which chronicled an album he made with John Cale of the Velvet Underground, Eno growled, "Keep that bloody camera off me," and flipped off the cameraman. Eventually, Eno agreed to allow the director, Rob Nielsen, to film only his hands and feet. "Great cat and mouse game," Nielsen said in an email. "I think Brian made the film more interesting." Now, Hustwit's production partner, Brendan Dawes, said that it took 2 years of really intense work to write the software that's called Brain One for the film. Can you guess the anagram there, friends? Yeah, Brian Eno. Hustwit first used it to create a generative remix of Rahm's and showed it to Eno. When Eno saw it, he was ecstatic. He said in an email interview, "I didn't fancy the linearity of conventional biographies. Lives don't run in a straight line, and every time we think about them in retrospect, for instance, every time we start remembering something, we actually rethink them. Our lives are stories we write and rewrite. There is no single reliable narrative of a life." Rather deep there, I'd say. On the festival circuit, Hustwit and Dawes occasionally brought the Brain One machine on stage and tweaked Eno in real time, adjusting the audio for each theater's acoustics. So when the movie plays the Film Forum in New York, they'll create individual digital cinema packages, also known as DCPs, which the modern projection systems use in lieu of film reels for each screening. Quoting here, "The reaction from the film industry has been curiosity and excitement, but also confusion," he said. "Everyone wants me to make a director's cut. I could make a really good one, but that would be sort of antithetical to the whole exercise. For me to exert that level of control," Hustwit said. So as we know, streaming platforms, at least right now, they don't have the ability to generate unique versions of a movie for every viewer, but neither Hustwit nor Dawes has ever been deterred by tradition. Their company, Animorph, is developing new software that would allow streamers to create versions of Eno that, in fact, would change with each viewing. It's not possible to watch all 52 quintillion versions of the film, but some Eno fans will try.
Holy carp. Can you imagine the box set of this thing?
The mind boggles, Mr. Keynes. I'd say you'd need several dozen airplane hangers to store that collection. And with that, we'll call it a show, friends, but not before thanking our contributors to this edition of the show, Aaron Lane and Gregory Wilson, for splendid vocal insertions and exquisite delivery. Thanks as well to the Deacon of Dials, Milt Keynes, for expert dialectronic manipulation of the sonic landscape.
Pleasure as always. And folks, you can really help us keep the good times flowing over here and get a little something-something for yourself for free by heading on over to our Patreon page and become a member.
Yes, indeed. Helps the cause here for sure, and you'll get the aforementioned free swag, as well as early release of shows, rare and ancient texts revealing the secret handshakes of the proboscis monkey cult, and all kinds of exclusive content never seen by humankind.
Just head on over to patreon.com/thefusebox show to get started.
Simple as that. Thanks as well to our friends at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued support. Find out about their past issues and the upcoming one, which rumor has it that it's gonna be a book size extravaganza. So go to 42ndStreetPete.net for all the details. And of course, thanks to you friends for pushing play on this one. We do so appreciate you spending your valuable time here with us.
Well, I'm not really sure how valuable it is. I mean, you were just cleaning out the hair from the shower drain, but whatever.
I have been your Making America Great Again Through Grifting host, Mark Rose, saying until our next cartoon.
Fuse box.